Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, I have a very special guest today. You might know him. Welcome back to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding. And today we'll be chatting about all things paranormal with my better half. Welcome to another episode. And as always, we kick things off with this week's fact or fiction. So listen for the answer at the end. In many societies, funeral rituals are believed to prevent the ghost from haunting the living. What do you think? Is it fact or fiction? Find out at the end of the show. Now, I did mention that I was going to be chatting to my better half, and lo and behold, sat next to me, here he is, the producer, the director, a sex god in his own right, just a lovable kind of guy.
You're running out, aren't you?
Paranormal investigator.
You're running dry, aren't you?
Maker of fabulous curries. It's none other than my husband, Carl Beattie. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me again.
So, we like to do these little chats, don't we? Because I like to know what you've been up to. It's the only time I get to. What have you been up to then, Carl?
Every 3 months we like to get together and chat about our lives.
Yeah. So tell me, what have we been up to? You can start up. We've been so busy. Well, the truth be told, I'm bloody knackered.
The thing is, but you don't look it. You still look radiant and beautiful as ever.
Stop it.
But you do. We've been doing the stage show, which has been doing extremely well. Mm-hmm. And that's been quite humbling, actually, to see all those people coming to see us. And to all those who've been, thank you very, very much. And to all those who are coming. It's been extended, the stage tour, because of its success. We're in talks now going abroad and extending it to 2025 and 2026. With that, filming, doing the most haunted events, and you just haven't stopped for a breath with all your books, and obviously you've got your podcasts, you've got the stage shows, of fitting the stage show in as around all of that, and filming, and the events too. So, it's been a busy old time, hasn't it?
It's been a very busy old time.
We kind of pass each other making cups of tea, don't we?
Yeah, we do, but you've been doing all the driving, and all the miles that we've been doing, I'm passengering it. And because I was passengering it for such a long time, my choice, I did my shoulder in, didn't I?
You did, but I think that was just flipping off bad drivers.
But you keep saying, don't do that. People might recognise you and say, was that Yvette Fielding that just gave me the middle finger?
There's got to be someone who's gone, I'm pretty sure Yvette Fielding just gave me the middle finger.
I would never do that. I'm a children's author, you know.
You'd never do it.
Oh, no. So let's talk about some of the paranormal activity that we have encountered while we've been busy going to all these different theatres and also most haunted events. I know we've got a couple of new locations as well that we've been investigating, which is great, and also possibly a couple of new locations that we're going to be filming in as well, which is exciting. So for the theatres, I'm just trying to think of some of the things that have happened that have really just been just very strange. There was one particular location. Now, you'll have to remind me, because each theatre, for me, they all merge into one. I know that sounds awful, but I can't help it, because there's so many of them. And they're all gorgeous, and they all have a wonderful vibe to it. A lot of them have a fantastic history. Some of them have been modern, but like we always say, it's the ground underneath. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean the building. But there was one particular theatre that really fascinated us, and it scared the heck out of one of our tech crews, tech guys, Mark. He sat at the side of the stage and we heard knocking and tapping, and it was really loud on the side of the stage where Mark was sat. Mm-hmm. And whilst we were on the stage, we came off and he looked really quite frightened, and I said, what's the matter? And he said, look at my face. And he's got a, he had a scratch right across his nose, hadn't he? He said, look at my nails. He said, I don't have long nails. And they were all bitten, through nerves working with us. No, but they were all bitten. And you just, he said, I have not touched my face. Why has this happened? And then we asked, didn't we, were you, whoever's knocking, were you responsible for this? And it knocked out two really loud knocks for yes.
Yeah, but I think one of the things I love about doing certainly the stage shows, but and it's the same reason I love doing the Most Haunted Experience on weekends, is because you're dealing with members of the public. Mm. These aren't, I mean, some of them are paranormal investigators, they do their own thing, but you've got people who randomly come up on stage and can experience what we experience. And one of the reasons I love that is because, yeah, doing anyone who does the paranormal, you always get people, you know, who weren't there, don't know really much about anything, go, oh, it's all fake, isn't it? And you think, well, in that case, explain how people can come off from an audience who are picked at random, can either do a Ouija board on the stage. I mean, we've had letters and numbers of seats come up on the stage and a name, and they've correlated to the person who's sitting in that seat. And
they've had messages from their loved ones, haven't they?
And I think that that's something I love so much, because they are experiencing what we experience on the show. Same as the Most Haunted Experience. Mm. Yeah, they can do the same thing. One of the things I love is when you've got members of the public standing there and they hear footsteps walking through 10 or 20 people and they're all following them. You know nothing else could be making it, and you've got sceptics who come along and they change their mind. And we've had sceptics on the stage show that
one of them thought that we'd actually in the day taken a brick wall down.
Oh yeah.
Put a device inside the brick wall, and then
they had all signatures on it, so we redid all the signatures of people that worked there. That was on the front of the brick wall.
Oh, I see.
Had all the signatures. It had about 500 signatures of people who had just worked there.
So it was a bit like a Rubik's Cube, having to put it all back in place.
Yeah, so we took that all down.
Yes,
we built it and put a device in there.
Because,
you know, something. And it's a load-bearing wall, so we put a RSJ across.
He actually said that, didn't he?
On stage, but everyone booed him, which was quite...
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, the point is, it's so... But don't be a fool. You know, that's the thing. And there's so many fools out there who kind of go, I want to prove this is all rubbish. And when they can't, and that certain person was, when we were down there, he was the one who was most amazed at everyone, because he was saying, I'm hearing a noise down the corridor, I'm hearing a noise there. Mm. Going there, so I can't explain it. And yeah, when they're faced with it in front of other people, they, for some strange reason,
because they don't want to be ridiculed and they don't want to feel a fool by admitting that
the truth, what they actually heard. That's what I never understand. You have all these people standing going, I didn't really experience anything. You were the one who said you heard footsteps and there was no one there. Well, yeah, apart from that. Mm. Well, so you did experience something. You don't need to say that was a spirit of a dead person. You go, I experienced something that was really weird, and I know no human was doing it. Own up to stuff, and then we can all move forward together rather than making yourself look a fool.
Why is it? I mean, we'll move on from this in a little bit, but I just wanted to push this little bit in here, because me and you were sat having our tea, weren't we, the other day, and we sit now and have our tea on our knees while we're watching the telly, and we were watching The Unexplained or Unexplained on television or on Netflix, And it was really quite incredible, some of the cases. These were all about UFOs. This is what I mean. I'll move on for this in a second. But it was about UFOs and about sightings and about how many people, particularly I think one of the cases was in Wales in Broadhaven, and how so many people didn't want to admit coming forward and seeing something because they knew they were going to be ridiculed. Why do you think we do that as human beings, as a race? Why do we feel the necessity to ridicule the unexplained? What is that about?
I think we're all afraid of that ridicule. You only have to look at social media for that. Now, you think 99% of people on social media will not put in what they actually truly believe or think about something because they're afraid they're going to get attacked by everybody. Yeah, the 1% or 0.1%. It's the same as this, that we're constantly told this doesn't exist. You've got to be a bit mad to believe it. But you only have to go through history. The things that we accept today as being the norm, you would have been burnt at the stake or hanged as a witch or a heretic.
Well, I would have been well gone many years ago.
you've been gone for years long. But doesn't it? So you take, for argument's sake, what we're even doing now, airwaves, the fact that things can be heard when someone isn't in a room. People would either be imprisoned or executed for even saying that was going to happen. And we are afraid.
Mysteriously killed.
Mysteriously killed, yeah, like, you know, it happens with so many people. And I think that you have to remember the worst thing that could ever happen out there is 100% proof of the afterlife, the paranormal and UFOs. I believe there are UFOs, and I don't care what anyone thinks about that statement I've made. I believe in the paranormal, and it annoys me so much because you can stand there and say, I am a Catholic, a Muslim, a Christian, a Jain, Buddhist, whatever, and people will just go, oh, okay, that's fine, that's your God. You sit there and say, I'm a spiritualist, or I believe in the afterlife. Suddenly, you're open to
prove it to me,
and you believe in it. And you don't get that with anything else. And that needs to change because that's wrong.
Yes,
because certainly in this day and age, you either ridicule everyone or you don't ridicule anyone.
Yeah. I find it really insulting when people say that to me.
Well, it's that point of, well, go and prove it to me. It's like, no, sod off. Go and prove it to yourself. Yeah. Why do you want me to prove something to you? Yeah. If you want to find out, go and do it yourself. Yeah. There's plenty of opportunity to go, especially now, since when you think when Most Haunted started, one of the things we wanted to do was open this up because it was all in a bit of a closet, wasn't it? It was all in this darkness and people weren't really telling people they did paranormal investigations. But now it is more accepted for people to go, no, that's what I do, whether you believe it or not, that's what I do. So they can go and find it. And it's all this thing about how do they know they haven't seen a ghost? They're not looking for one and we don't know. You could walk down a street. How do you know every single person you see? And we're all living.
And we've talked about this before.
We have, yeah.
And how, you know, you can be, me and you'll be travelling down the motorway to go and do a show or something and you'll see somebody walking down the road at night. Is that a ghost? Because we're seeing solid figures now, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're seeing solid figures walk into a room, you follow it and there's nobody there. And a lot of people think of ghost apparitions as this, this misty, see-through figure or a slightly translucent white figure. And we've been finding that of late, they're not like that.
They are, yeah. And I think just to go back to the why people are scared to say it's because the powers that be want it quashed. They want it taken out. They want it constantly hidden. Because if there was absolute proof of either, imagine what that would do to religion across the world.
Oh, blimey, yeah.
Just imagine what that would do to politics across the world. Mm. These are it would change everything we believed in. And probably create more wars, if that's possible.
Yeah, and they've been doing that with UFO sightings for, oh, my goodness me, keep it quiet, don't say anything. Mm. You know, all these different the countries and ministries of all the different countries where these have been reported, these UFO sightings, it's all been quashed. It's all been keep it quiet. They're not of sound mind. They must be making it up.
Well, it was that professor at Harvard who mysteriously... got hit by a drunk driver, but they were trying to get rid of him, weren't they?
Yes.
Because he went to what was it called? Aerial school in
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. And these kids all saw something on the same day, the same time.
62 witnesses.
Yeah. And what he did was, as a scientist, he did the right thing. He went and interviewed them with an open mind. Not, they're all nuts, they didn't see a UFO. I mean, there's stories of, oh, he was the gardener. I'm pretty sure a kid knows the difference between a gardener and somebody who's not the gardener. And I have to say, for the first time ever, there was the one person who said, no, we made it up. He was the one person that was probably the most, that looked, certainly to me, the
unconvincible, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the most unconvincing person and was the one that didn't look like he was telling the truth, in my opinion. But... the fact that this professor of Harvard went there and talked to these people. He asked all the right questions and he listened to them like nobody else had. And all these kids were saying, thank you for listening to us. And at the end of it, he didn't say, oh, they're aliens. What he said was, these children are telling the truth. As far as he was concerned. And Harvard didn't like it. And they tried to get rid of him. And I think it went to court or was going to go to court. I know solicitors were involved.
But he was also interviewing lots of abductees, wasn't he?
Yeah.
All over the world. And he was saying, you know, I'm a professor of Harvard. And Harvard didn't like his name being their name associated with what he was doing. Yeah.
And then mysteriously got ran over. Oh, I think he got ran over, hit by a drunk driver. Yeah. I don't think he was in a car. I think he was walking somewhere, but hit by a drunk driver and killed. And you cut... So, all of this stuff is, as long as it's hidden, it's only questions, it's people's anecdotes. And you've got that section of people with closed minds who will go, it's all a load of rubbish, will not believe anything. Mm. They're the same people who believe we still landed on the moon. And then you've got...
I'm not going to go down that tunnel.
But then you've got the people who... And you've got the other people on the opposite side who believe everything.
Yeah.
But then you've got this majority of people who are in the centre who are thinking... Well, maybe there is something. Let's look into it. And it's those findings that we need to keep on moving forward, keep on collating. They need to keep on putting them up on any single social media platform they can, because the more information we've got, yes, there'll be fakery, but the more information we've got, you can get rid of the fakery, and then what you're left
is the truth.
Is with something.
Yeah.
Isn't it what Arthur Conan Doyle said with... Sherlock Holmes, once you've eliminated the impossible, no matter how improbable, whatever is left is the truth.
I'm very impressed that you even remembered that.
Yeah, so am I.
That was very good. I mean, I've gone on to, as you know, you've been with me, but celebrity shows.
Mm.
Some of the other people that have been guests on there have been so rude to me.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what I believe in off camera. And one of them actually said on camera, but the producer cut it out, I think what you do is really stupid. And he said it with real venom in his voice. And I was really hurt by that. And the producer came running out and went, Yvette, please don't worry. I know that wasn't nice. We'll cut that bit out. And they did. They cut it out of the show. Oh, Mary, come in and join us.
Hello, gorgeous. We're just doing the podcast.
Come and say hello to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. Our beautiful daughter home from the RAF. Yes, we're just recording. Put the kettle on and we'll be down later.
See you in a bit.
Well, that was a nice little interlude.
Welcome to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast,
where we answer the questions you want to hear about parenthood
and provide you with real, honest advice for every stage of your parenting journey.
Whether you're a parent-to-be, a new mum like me, navigating those sleepless nights,
or a more experienced parent facing the challenges of raising older kids like me.
We've got you covered with relatable stories, expert insights, and plenty of laughs along the way.
So grab your headphones, a cup of coffee, or maybe something stronger.
And let's get real about parenting.
We're not going to be sugarcoating anything. From punamis to piles, nothing is off limits at Mum's the Word.
It's a podcast for all the parents out there, our own little club.
Mum's the Word.
Listen wherever you get your podcast from.
And hit follow so you don't miss an episode.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers.
With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
That was one time when I wasn't with you, because I wouldn't put up with that myself. No. And I know this person is flying quite high at the moment, but I'd love to take him to task over it. Because, yeah. No, because you cannot do that. If that was about, if you were a Catholic,
and he said that,
there would be arms. And don't forget, every religion believes in someone or something, whether it be a prophet or whatever, that has died, but they still talk to.
Yes, absolutely. So they pray to them. Yeah.
So that alone is wrong. And that person, I mean, I know we got into some trouble later on with other things, but I'm not going to.
No.
But the problem with that is every time we tell that story, we say who it is. Those people who believe in this go, not listening to his stuff anymore, not going anywhere near. And I can't. I used to like listening to his stuff, and I can't. I know it doesn't damage them anymore. They don't care. They're multimillionaires. But you shouldn't be allowed to get away with it. And I think that the problem is that how many times have you heard people say to you, oh, no, I don't believe in any of it, and follow it up with a, but when I was younger, I saw this thing. Or when you go, well, if you don't believe, why don't you come along and just see if something happens you can witness for yourself. Oh, I couldn't do it, I'm too scared. But if you don't believe, what you're scared of?
I know.
Of course you must believe.
But I think that's what it is. I think a lot of it's down to fear, isn't it? That the fear of the unknown. How many celebrities have we worked with when we were doing the ITV2, you know, ghost hunting with? And all these celebrities, they all turn up all really cocky, all really, yeah, it's a TV show, where are the wires? Where's the small person hiding under the floorboards with a broom? You know, who's got the catapult that's going to throw all the stones at us? All of that. And then to watch them as they realise through the evening, oh, my God, this is real. Oh, my God. And that I absolutely love watching them change. And I say that to anybody. And I wish that I could take that opportunity to grab that person who said that to me and say, right, come on, come and spend the night with me in a haunted house. And I do that with anybody that is rude to me or anybody that poos it. I say, right, well, put your money where your mouth is then and come with me on an investigation. And 9 times out of 10, they go, no, it's all right.
Or they cancel at the last minute, which is fun.
Yeah.
But everyone can. That's why we did the most haunted events.
That's right.
The fact that anyone can come along and experience, and a lot of people have, which is a great thing. But I think a lot of these people that want to poo-poo it, there's only really a few explanations. Fear, ignorance, or laziness.
Mm.
It can only really be those who just want to constantly poo-poo it without looking at it. Even when I was more sceptical about the whole thing before we started Most Haunted, I would never say there wasn't, because there's millions of sightings. But to say there are no such things as ghosts would be saying to millions of people around the world, you're lying.
Yeah.
You're absolutely lying.
Yeah.
And that's wrong, because you don't know these people. You don't know what their backgrounds. And some of them have lost their jobs by saying what they saw.
Yes, they have.
Or certainly put their careers at risk.
Yes.
That's a very brave thing to do. And they're not going to do that for a bit of fun.
No.
You know, these people have seen stuff. And I think, I've always said, the intelligent question isn't, do ghosts exist? The intelligent question is, what is a ghost?
Yeah.
And that's what scientists, and I keep saying scientists, and I don't know why. I mean, we trust everything scientists say, and I don't know why we do. And I know people go, oh, they're scientists. Yeah, but they get it wrong. I mean, the most basic thing they got wrong most recently was how old the universe is. I mean, didn't they get that wrong by a couple of 100 million years?
Something like that.
And yet everyone's supposed to go, oh, yeah, well, that's fine. Oh, so it's that old now, is it? If you had said that paranormal and made a mistake,
yeah,
and said, oh no, that was a door slam, and then everything you've done would be fake, everything you've done would be wrong. But because it's under this moniker of science, which, let's face it, has failed so many times, which is the very nature of experimentation, but move it forward, take stuff, find out what it is. We had a scientist on one of the experiences,
yes,
who loved it,
because she's been in touch on the programme.
Brilliant. And she did so many bits around to try and find out what these things were. She said, no person's making it. There is an energy there that is responding to what we're saying. That's what we should be trying to find out.
Exactly.
And if scientists are scared, I understand it. You know, stay in your labs, do what you need to do that everyone will go, ooh, well done, have a prize for, rather than jumping out and getting out of that little happiness circle that you've got and go, alone, let's have a look at this.
Yeah.
And if you can find out what it is and it's a natural occurring thing,
fair enough.
Fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then we can all move on.
Yeah.
But don't just sit there and go, it's not worthy of experimentation, because if you say that, you're not a scientist.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. It's what I've been saying, what we've both been saying for many, many years. As you can imagine, the conversations that Carl and I have in the car whilst we're going across the country, sometimes our blood can really boil, can't it? Because we get quite hyped up with some of these chats.
But that's, with you, that's the menopause.
Shut up. Do apologise.
I've gone through mine.
Yeah, you have. So we were talking about other things. So we talked about the theatre show. We talked about about Mark getting scratched on his face. Mm. We've had other things. We had a fire alarm going off.
Stockton Globe.
There was a ghost of a little boy who'd been seen, but it was really horrible to see him because he was burned. Mm. And apparently a child had died in that theatre through a fire. And he came through with the knocking and the tapping with yourself and a small group of audience members backstage, and you got information from him via this knocking and tapping, and he said he needed help, and so we sent him on his way, and as he went off, the fire alarm went off.
And the strange thing, nobody's seen him since,
yeah.
What strange thing about that was, the people we had backstage were different ages, because they just picked randomly out the audience, and the youngest member of the group, it was her that got the taps and knocks, because we all did our asking out and none of us got anything. But when she spoke, you heard this tiny little tapping. It wasn't like bang bang, once for yes, twice for no kind of thing. It was this, like something was running and getting excited. And she made the point that, and I didn't make the connection, but she did, and she just said, well, maybe it's because I'm closer to his age. Mm. And you thought, well, maybe that is, because we were all more a adult and older, and she was younger, and so she did the questions. Every time she asked, you had this little thing, and it was a modern, the strange thing was, it was like a modern gym that we were in, an open area, and you'd hear this little footsteps, like tick, 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 but from a distance, running towards, and it like seemed to run right through us, but stop right at her, then it would run around her. And it was remarkable, because none of us had any control over it. It was just her that seemed to have this, some sort of affinity with this little boy. We didn't see him, but boy, did we feel him. And people felt him brushing past them. And that, you cannot deny that. These are people who don't know each other, and they're all experienced the same thing.
Well, as soon as, you know, you sent him all off to the light.
Well, you came down.
I came down and we all did it together. I walked out from where we were doing it, literally up the stairs and back onto the stage. And as soon as I walked back onto the stage, all the alarms went off.
Yeah.
And it was 10 minutes towards the end of the second half.
You basically finished, didn't you?
Finished, more or less.
One goodbye to go.
Wrap up, yeah. And we were all ushered out into the car park. And the manager was just shaking like a leaf. Mm. And he just said, we have CCTV footage of where the fire switches, or the bell, or whatever it was, a button that you pushed.
Yeah, that it was pushed. Yeah,
yeah. And he said, and it's in the staff room. Nobody was in the staff room. We've got CCTV footage. Nobody's there, and the button was just presses itself. And he was really freaked out by that.
Yeah, and I think again, what fascinates you with these sorts of things is you still had people going on to Facebook and whatever and social media saying, oh, this is something they do all the time. This is something they must have...
Great stage effect.
Yeah, great stage effect. You think, one, you couldn't do that because you're evacuating the building, which those guys did at Stockton brilliantly. They took control and they were absolutely superb. But it's not something you do because it's a safety hazard getting everybody out, getting all those people out into a car park and into a cold car park at night and waiting for... 45 minutes before the fire engines went in there and sorted everything out and found there was no fire. But you had still had people saying it's something that we did. You think if something you did, people would be saying that's what happened at the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
And you couldn't do it anyway. But And it's fascinating. And the great thing is he sent us a full report of it saying that there is actually no technical reason why that can happen. Something must have pushed it, but there's no one in the room.
Can I tell you something? I do a little prayer every time we go into the theatre. I go, please don't set the fire alarm off. Please don't. Whatever you do, ghosties, don't set the fire alarm off. We don't want any of that. And then, so as I mentioned, anything that sticks out to you while you've been doing Most Haunted Experiences of late? Any particular activity that you've encountered?
Yeah, I mean, I think we generally get quite a bit. Sometimes you get nights that are not that active, and other nights you get stuff that it all goes off. But I'm just trying to think which would be.
We did a séance night recently. Well, I did at Shrewsbury Prison, which
great.
Was lovely. And you came along. You didn't have to, bless you, but you came along to keep me company in the car because we don't keep each other company in the car for very long, do we? But yeah, that was interesting, and we did a séance, it's wonderful because you've got all these people sitting around a table, and do you remember you got a big knock at your end of the table, and I got a big knock at my end of the table, and people were feeling the knocking in between, and they were, I've got a knock too, and then the table started to vibrate down towards your end of the table. People could feel that, which was great. And then we all heard sort of footsteps above us, and we all went up to the first floor, didn't we? And we heard the footsteps and stuff.
Kind of did
great.
A séance around the railings, didn't we? Which was great. I mean, I do love it. I can't. It's really strange. I can't really adequately describe it because I get so excited when guests who've come to us that night and are hearing things, especially for the first time.
They watch their faces.
Because it's just... And, we say to everyone, look, if you hear anything, turn your torches on. Point them everywhere. Point them at us, point them at the team, point them at anyone else in the group. No one should have a problem with you putting your torches on. And some of them sort of go, well, would a torch scare off a ghost?
No,
it will not. And anyone who tells you that is trying to hide something.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it won't.
Yeah.
Light up the situation as much as you can, because at the end of the day, if activity starts to die down, turn your torches off and start it again. Yeah, build it back up. Because you have to make sure that no one is either by accident or by design making noises. Mm. So therefore, when you hear that and you've got people shining their torches at... I mean, mine's usually always the first to go on, and I always shine it
where
we're standing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's watching people and they're saying, but it's not coming from over there, it's coming from here. Yeah. And other people say, no, it's coming from down the other end.
You can't detect exactly where this knocking is coming from.
I just love it.
It's
absolutely
fantastic.
Love it.
What new locations have we got coming up for us to film? I mean, obviously you can't say exactly where they are, but there are a couple that we've got coming up. I think there's a theatre that are very
theater,
keen for us to,
house.
To go. Yeah.
Sort of a manor house. We're in talks about another prison. The trouble is... It's owned by the police still.
Okay.
And the trouble is they just want too much money at the moment, so hopefully we can get them to reduce the fee.
And we did have some...
Because don't forget, we don't get paid to do this.
That's
we
right.
We do it ourselves.
We just get the pennies that fall from the ceiling from the spirit world.
Nobody wants those anymore.
That's it. But we did get from the audience somebody that used to work at the... What's it called, that big theatre?
The Adelphi
Theatre in London. She said, it's really haunted. I said, oh, my goodness, I know. And I said, if we could get in there and film there. She went, well, I do have contacts. And I think she's left her email address for us.
I hope she did leave
that would be. Can you imagine being able to get there? That would be amazing. Because we've done the theatre all Drury Lane, but to get there would be amazing.
But do you know what?
The Adelphi.
I've just thought of something. Do you know what? We've probably... This has been the most intense... set of theatre investigations in history in the time that we've in the time frame that we've done it. Because we've gone through all of these different theatres, and some theatres we've had some fantastic stuff. Do you remember we were in the one where we were in the loft where the old caretaker used to live?
Yeah.
And we heard this knocking from a box. We couldn't work out where it was coming from, and it was coming from a box, a leather box.
Yes, that's right.
And one of the guys from, again, from the audience, we had quite a few people from the audience up on that one, and they lifted up, they lifted the lid off. It was empty, but the, as soon as they lifted the lid, the knocks were louder from within.
Let me out!
It was emu.
Yeah.
But it, and then when he closed it, they were muffled again.
What's that about?
But we were all sat there going,
incredible.
Was something in the box? Because it wasn't. There was
a
person spirit.
That's a first.
But it was lovely to see it because no one was in the room. We were guided to the room by the knocks, and it was a member of the public opened it, and everyone was astounded by that. I mean, truly astounded by that, because there was something knocking in that box. And there was nothing in there.
Yeah. I wish I'd seen and heard that myself. I was on the stage at the time. But I do love it when I look back and I look at the big screen and there you all are doing your do. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure as always, Carl. And no doubt I'll see you in 5 minutes downstairs with Mary for a cup of tea.
Shall I pop the kettle on?
I think she should have already done it.
It's Mary. She won't be doing it.
Okay. Thank you. Give us a kiss. Thank you so very much. We'll see you again in a month's time.
Yes. Pleasure. I'll pop a pasty in.
Okay, well, that's a lovely, lovely Carl Beatty, my beautiful other half. We're just catching up there on some of the things that we've been up to in the last couple of months. And as you can see, we've been incredibly busy and a few miles under our belts. So, let's get the answer now to this week's fact or fiction. To remind you, here it is. It was, in many societies, funeral rituals are believed to prevent the ghost from haunting the living. What do you think? Well, the answer is fact. Ghosts, soul or spectre of a dead person, usually believed to inhabit the netherworld and to be capable of returning in some form to the world of the living. According to descriptions or depictions provided by believers, a ghost may appear as a living being or as a nebulous likeness of the deceased, or occasionally in other forms. Belief in ghosts is based on the ancient notion that a human spirit is separable from the body and may maintain its existence after the body's death. So that means in many societies, funeral rituals are believed to prevent the ghost from haunting the living. Well, there you go. Get in touch with me and share your stories. Here's how to do that. Type away on your computer or your phone at contact@paranormalpod.co.uk. Or I am on WhatsApp. You can leave your beautiful dulcet tones with your stories or experiences for us to play on the show. Here's the number, 075-999-27537. And we are on Instagram, where we share photographs, videos, and hopefully some of your videos as well. Here's the handle, is @ParanormalActivityPod. Stay up to date with the newest episodes by giving us a follow, and I'll be back again same time next week. But if you can't wait till then, visit www.paranormalpod.co.uk, where you can find options to get episodes a day early. Have a great week. Stay safe. And if you do see me on the road and I do something obscene out the side of the window, I don't mean it. Okay. Remember, things aren't always as they seem.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.